Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, and so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's another Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Hey, I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Of course, Todd and team out on campus again this week at the beautiful Kennesaw State University. As always, they're looking for or fishing for students to share Christ with, and it's a beautiful day today in the Atlanta area to go witnessing. So let's not waste a whole lot of time listening to me and send it out to the campus now with Todd on campus at Kennesaw State University.
You are looking at, what was it called, an informational what?
Information systems.
An information systems specialist. You work on computers, don't you, Matt?
That's right.
But the title is better.
The title's good.
It's a good title.
It's a good title.
All right, are you a math guy?
No.
What? I don't get it. Don't you have to be good at math to do information systems?
No.
Well, then educate me. What do you do on an information system that doesn't involve math?
You teach people how to use computers. That's it.
So you could help an idiot like me use my computer.
I could.
Because I'm just a complete knucklehead.
Okay.
Okay. The little arrow thingy. What is that called? The arrow thingy. You know that.
I call it the arrow thingy.
Apparently I too am an informational systems expert then. Okay. The arrow thingy, it got stuck on my page and it was actually moving the page around and I couldn't get out and I didn't know what to do. I had to call my children to help me.
Did they, I would tell you to turn the computer off and turn it back on.
Pretty much what I got from them. So they're computer information systems specialists too.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
okay. All right. So Matt, where are you from?
Marietta, Georgia.
So you are in the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
Did you grow up a Bible Belter?
What does that mean? Does that mean like going to church every Sunday and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
No, we're like church on Christmas Eve, Easter kind of people.
C&E Christians.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Right. There you go.
See, I knew something you didn't.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. So you're a C&E Christian, but you probably wouldn't call yourself a Christian.
I'd say I'm a Christian.
But so you go to church still on Christmas and Easter.
Right.
Tell me what's the celebration of Christmas about?
The birth of Jesus Christ.
And who is Jesus Christ?
Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
What's Easter about?
Easter is the resurrection of Christ.
And what is that about?
That's about when he died on the cross and then came back.
Huh. What was the point of that?
It was a symbol that Jesus died for all of our sins.
And you go to church twice a year?
Twice a year.
Okay, I have to confess to you, Matt, you're kind of surprising me a little bit.
Okay.
Right? Because I've talked to a number of students out here that like go to church all the time, and they didn't know what you just explained to me. Can you help me understand how you understand these things?
I mean, even though we're seasonal people, we go on the big holidays, I don't think you have to go to church to be a Christian. It's not where you are, but it's about what you celebrate and what you know and your beliefs about it. And it's not so much about, like I said, going to church and all that. So, I mean, you just got to do your research, I guess.
All right. So I'm going to make a guess about you and your worldview. I suspect, I'm not sure, but we're going to confirm this. I suspect you are a postmodern. Do you know what that means?
No.
Historically, there's been predominant mindsets, and I'm going to take it from the year zero to today. All right. From about this is rough history, but from the year zero to give or take the 1400s, that was called the pre-modern era. People basically believed God exists. The Bible tells me what I'm supposed to do. That's the end of it. No questioning. I believe in God. He gives me my marching orders. Truth is determined by God. But then some historical events happen, one of which was the Renaissance, The other was the Protestant Reformation, a questioning of the Roman Catholic Church and the questioning of, does God even exist? What is real? And they started going through all sorts of wranglings over it, which gave man permission to question God. And we entered into what we call the modern era. It's also the era of reason, the age of reason, or the age of empiricism, where basically science is what helps us to determine what is true and what is real. And that era lasted for give or take 400 or 500 years, because it seemed to be working. Human beings were flourishing like nobody's business. We had the Industrial Revolution. Quality of life was improving. Lifespans were increasing. We seemed to think that we human beings had the answers, not God, people. Mm-hmm. But then the 20th century hit us like a frying pan to the face. Yeah. World Wars I and II, bloodiest century in human history. And philosophers started to question, maybe we don't know everything. And maybe truth isn't even knowable. And we entered into the postmodern era, which basically says all truth is valid truth. It's individualized because nobody can know the truth. So what you believe is one thing, what I believe is another. They can completely contradict, but we're both right because truth is ultimately unknowable. It's personal. That's the postmodern era. Premodern, modern, postmodern. Where do you fit in there, Matt?
I like postmodern, like you said.
I figured as much. So if I said, you believe that Jesus was born on Christmas, he rose from the dead, I don't, we're both correct. You'd probably agree with that.
Yeah.
I would like to convert you from not being a postmodern, not even being a modern, but to being a premodern. Will you let me give it a go?
Remind me what premodern is.
Premodern is God determines what is true.
Okay. I see. I think it's a mix of that and postmodern. I like the values that the Bible teaches. I'm a believer in the Bible. I'm a believer in the things that are in the Bible. I think you should act accordingly to it, not just because it says it, but because when you generally follow the teachings that are in it, your life is just better. So for me, when you're running around kind of godless and, you know, living for the weekend and doing all those things where it makes you feel a bit of shame, and then you switch to trying to live with a little bit more integrity and following the rules, if you will, you just seem to live better. That's why I believe, just because, I don't know, it's the experiences that you have that kind of make that up.
But I suspect as a postmodern, you would not say to a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim who rejects your religious system, you wouldn't be willing to say they are wrong, would you?
No.
You're a postmodern.
Okay.
All right. I want to try to bring you back.
Okay.
All right. Matt, do you believe that murder is bad?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's a God thing where it's not really up to you to take someone's life unless it's self-defense.
I believe murder is good, Matt. Okay. Will you tell me I'm wrong?
I'll just ask you to explain.
I think it's a wonderful thing. So I think murdering sprees are terrific. How can you sit here and tell me I'm wrong as a postmodern?
Mainly, it's not worth the argument.
Well, because I'd be a complete knucklehead, but that's not the point.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So murder, you would say, is always wrong, all times, yeah. All cases, no exceptions. Yeah. But you cannot make that claim unless there is a moral law giver. Mm-hmm. If there is not a higher authority, a greater source of truth, of values, justice, who can enforce them, right, then the issue of murder is no longer about right and wrong. It is merely a preference issue. As a postmodern, if you're going to be consistent, man, all you can tell me is you don't prefer murder, but you cannot tell me that murder is always wrong at all times in all places. Postmodernism does not allow you to do that. Therefore, postmodernism is fallacious.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
And I could apply that to virtually anything. Okay. Right? I could believe that this bush is God. And I believe if I run around that thing 7 times while singing about Budweiser, which is actually made by Anheuser-Busch, that I'm going to spend eternity in St. Louis drinking a 12-pack for the rest of eternity. You can't tell me I'm wrong because you're a postmodern.
Okay.
All right. So therefore, congratulations, you've just been converted out of postmodernism.
Okay.
If we can say that there's anything objectively true, that means there's an objective standard of truth. We don't write the rules. God writes the rules. And we know that God exists because we know there are rules. Are you tracking with my intuition here?
Yeah.
All right. So that's pre-modern thinking.
Right.
God determines how we're to live. God determines what is right or wrong. So now it's going to get dicey for you, man. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God?
I believe that he is the Son of God. He's the mortal version of God.
We'll say the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. That's the Trinity, correct? All right, so Jesus Christ, you believe, is God in the flesh. He was born, give or take, 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that he died on a cross and rose from the dead?
Yes.
That means, therefore, that statement is either true or false. Mm-hmm. It's not Matt's preference. Matt's either right or wrong. It's not just your belief. It's either true or it's not. So the Hindu, in your opinion, would be...
What do you mean?
Well, a Hindu doesn't believe that Jesus Christ lived, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. Okay. So the Hindu would be...
Wrong. The Hindu would be wrong. I'm willing to say it. Todd's willing to say it. But will Matthew be willing to say another system of religion is wrong? Well, hang tight. We'll find out next. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith. That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality, because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that plus... The Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription. No hidden fees. Just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 70 AD. Titus destroys Jerusalem and the temple.
The separation between Christianity and Judaism deepens, and Christians spread throughout the Roman Empire, spreading the gospel as they go. God uses tragedy to forward his great commission. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The Hindu doesn't believe that Jesus Christ lived, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. Okay. So the Hindu would be
wrong, according to me, I guess.
Well,
according to what I agreed to.
You would say that you could say, I grant you this, you could say their beliefs don't align with mine, and so I think they're wrong. But that is to remove it from the issue of objectively being true or not. So your belief doesn't make it so.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that.
So if Jesus Christ really did those things, then anybody who does not believe in him is wrong.
The thing I think is, it's the whole point of believing. You don't, there's, what is there to believe if you could just see it? You know, seeing is not believing. So there's a saying, if you pretend to know it all, or if you say you know it all, you're full of crap, right? So if I tell the Buddhists, like, no, there's for sure, whatever for sure you believe is not true, because this is what happened. I'm full of crap because I don't know for sure because I believe. But I believe what I believe, and you're not going to pull me out of it. That's why I let you believe what you want to believe, if that makes sense.
Let me see if you dig this response or not. Is that statement true?
No.
Okay, so then why are you believing it? Is everything you just said right?
Well, believing doesn't mean facts.
That's true. I agree with you, which is why I'm not a postmodern.
Yeah.
Because mere belief doesn't make the object of my faith so. The object of my faith either exists or it does not.
Right.
So here's my challenge for you then today, as we sit on the bench here at Kennesaw State. Your religion, your faith, your system is either right or it's wrong. Am I correct?
Yes.
So if it's wrong, Matt, wouldn't you want to know that? If it's right, don't you want to know that what you believe is so?
Yeah, but like I said, that's the point of believing. There's no, if there was something to know, then there would be no reason to believe.
I don't know that that is a verifiable statement. All right. I can do both of those things. I can know and believe, because belief is not assenting to a story. It is trusting that what you are told is accurate and true and real. Right. Belief is more than assent. It is about wholeheartedly committing to and confirming that is what I'm staking my life on, right?
Yeah.
So now the question then would be, with Christianity, is it a religious system worth staking your life on? Because here's the challenge that I would lay before you. And by the way, I appreciate how smart you are. You're really, seriously, you're a thinker. Jesus said this, I, Jesus, am the definite article, not a, the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes unto the Father but through me, right? That statement is either right or wrong. It's not just Jesus, not what I believe about it. Did Jesus make that claim, yes or no?
I don't know. Like I said, I mean, I haven't read that part, right? Where he said, you're saying he said this specific thing? I mean, to tell you the truth, I'd have to go back and see what you're looking at. Sure. But
well, it's in the Bible.
Okay.
The address is John 14, verse 6.
Okay.
He made this definitive claim. He didn't say that he's a truth. He didn't say he's seeking truth.
He is the truth.
He's it.
Yeah.
He embodies it.
Right.
He's not finding it, adhering to it. He actually is it.
Yeah.
And he's the only way to be reconciled to God.
Right.
Not Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, believing in Anheuser-Busch back here.
Yeah.
He's it. So now that claim is either true or false. And if Jesus Christ changed time, altered the world, has billions of followers throughout the ages, has been one responsible for a lot of government systems, hospitals, education, music, etc. It's worth determining if that actually was spoken and if it's true or not.
Yeah.
Because if it's true, all of the systems are wrong. And furthermore, it gets a little dicier for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you aren't believing that, then you're not believing him rightly too, and you're not walking in the truth.
Yeah.
So it gets really personal all of a sudden.
Right.
So how do you think, what would it take for you to be persuaded Jesus said that and it's true?
Like I said, it's not the point. You know, like if I told you there was a sidewalk right there, you would believe me because you see it. But if I told a blind guy there was a sidewalk there, he'd kind of have to take my word for it. And he would know it's there because he's walking on it. But he doesn't know for sure that there's a sidewalk there. He doesn't even know if it ends over there or something. Yeah. He's just got to take my word for it.
That was actually more theologically profound than I think you realize. So let me try to reason with you. All right. I think that there are questions that we human beings ask, rightly so. And I think every philosophy, even economic systems, and certainly religions try to answer. And here's the questions, you've heard them. Where do we come from? Why are we here? How are we supposed to live? What do I do with the shame, the guilt, the purposelessness that I feel? Where am I going when I die? So I would suggest to you that a religious system must answer all five of those, not independently, but coherently.
Yeah.
They can't contradict. They can't fall short. It's got to answer
all. What are the questions
again? Where'd I come from?
Yeah.
Why am I here? How am I supposed to live? How do I deal with my foreboding of death? And where am I going when I die?
Yeah.
All right. So if I find the system that coherently answers all five of those questions in a holistic way, my search is done.
Right.
I'm done. If you're looking for the lottery ticket, you know what the lottery ticket numbers are. You start going looking through lottery tickets. Once you find the right one, do you keep looking?
No.
Okay. So if you find the system that explains these five questions, your search for truth is over, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we can answer those five questions consistently and holistically through the person of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Bible says, here's where you came from, Matt. You were woven together in your mother's womb by God himself. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you know how I know that? Information systems. Ha ha!
Computers, okay.
Okay, this microphone.
Yeah.
Did it happen by itself? No. If I sat here and told you it happened over millions of years, you'd go, you're an idiot. Somebody made it. I don't see the microphone maker. I know there's a microphone maker because I've got a microphone.
Yeah.
Computers, they've got to be programmed. They don't happen by themselves. You're made by God.
Right.
I think that's externally and internally verifiable. It makes sense with what I observe, and it feels right that I'm actually made by God because I'm different than rocks and sidewalks and dogs. Okay. What are you doing here? What's the point? Without God, there is no point. You can make all the money you want, but you're going to die,
right,
and somebody's going to get all your stuff.
Right.
And you're done. You're worm food. It's right. Bleak. It's nihilistic. And that does not settle well with us because we sense there's more to life.
Right.
You are made by God for God, to live for the benevolent being who's all powerful and almighty. And that means when you get a job in information systems, you're not just doing computer stuff and teaching people. You're actually working for God by helping his other children get smarter. So you're serving God. Okay, so there's those two answered. How are you supposed to live? Well, you can make up the rules or you can ask yourself the question, has God spoken? And I think the answer is yes. How do I know? Because you and I are speaking, and I don't think the creation would be greater than the creator. So God is a communicative God, and he's spoken to us through a book called the Bible. Now you got to dig into it and see if it's accurate and verifiable. But for the sake of this conversation, let's just say your rule book for living is God's rules, the Bible. We can dive into that later if you choose. But then this whole issue about that nagging feeling. Now, I don't care to know the details of your life, but you intimated that living a Christian system is better because you don't have those feelings of doing things on the weekend that maybe cause guilt. Christianity deals with the guilt and shame problem.
Yeah.
Jesus takes your guilt and shame. You can't make yourself right. You need intervention. God came to earth to live the perfect life you couldn't, to be beaten and bruised and crucified on your behalf, taking the wrath of God on himself so that you, Matt, could be forgiven and you could have a cleansed conscience, which means when you die, you're going to go to be with your maker, not judged by your maker and cast into hell, but you will get to be with him because of what Jesus did. So now these five questions are answered harmoniously. They make sense. That is why I believe that Christianity is true, and I believe that Jesus was telling the truth, because none of these other systems can do all of these things for me.
Right.
Nobody can tell you you're going to be completely forgiven, that God is going to accept you into his kingdom. You can't know that with any other system but Christianity. And that's why when Christ said, I am the way, the truth, nobody comes unto the Father but by me, he was not lying. And that's also, maybe you remember this verse. He said, come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. He was talking about your sin burden, trying to keep the rules, trying to clean yourself up and be an upstanding citizen.
Yeah.
Come unto me, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, because he takes it all away and he grants you forgiveness. And now I have something called purpose. Now I am living for the one who died for me joyfully and happily, because he's the best being in the universe. So that is my case to be made for Jesus telling the truth that he is the way, the truth, the life. So now I want your thoughts on that, because I know you got them.
And we are going to hear Matthew's thoughts, all of them, coming up next as we continue with Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.